of preaching, I get a little overwhelmed with the task of preaching your word. But Lord, we know that your word is what we need in our lives. And your word is what's going to help us. And I don't have anything that I can help these people with, but your Bible does. And Father, I pray that you just allow me to be a vessel tonight, to be used of you, to be able to minister your word, that we might grow and learn from the Bible tonight. Father, thank you for those who'd come out on a Wednesday night to study the word. And Father, I pray you just bless this time. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Romans chapter number 8. And if you remember, last week we were in Romans chapter number 8, and we dealt with the subject of eternal security. If you look at verse 1 there, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." If you are saved, you are saved forever. Sometimes people mock this terminology. They'll say, "You're one of those once saved, always saved." Well, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Salvation is not something we earn. It's not something we get. In fact, and when I'm not preaching on it, but I just every time I read it, I think to myself, I don't understand what's so hard about it. But if you look at verse 3 there in chapter 8, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." Many religions today think that they're going to get to heaven by keeping the law, by keeping commandments, by keeping certain religious rituals and certain things here and there. You know, they'll do certain things spiritually, and they think because they keep the law, they're going to go to heaven. The Bible is very clear, "For what the law could not do." Why couldn't the law not save you? "In that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." So we understand that salvation is not by the law. The Bible tells us that the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was to teach us that we needed salvation. And we talked about that last week. Talked about eternal security. Next week, we'll be dealing with the last part of Romans 8, and we'll be talking about this terminology of predestination and foreknowledge. And there are those who teach tonight the subject of Calvinism. You may have heard that terminology before. Calvinism, those who believe that God chooses those who will be saved, and there is no human will in that and no human choice. And we'll talk about that next week. But tonight, I really want to focus on starting at verse number 5. If you look at verse number 5, the Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." The Apostle Paul, for a few verses here, begins to deal with the subject of the battle for your mind. And you must understand that there is a battle for your mind. There is a battle for your thoughts. There is a battle for the way you think. And here he begins to talk about this idea of the carnal mind. Now you got to understand, that word carnal is referring to your flesh. That word carnal is referring to your body. If you speak Spanish, you know that the Spanish word for meat or flesh is carne. Comes from the same word as carnal there. And when he says, well, look at verse 5 again. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded." Do you see that? To be carnally minded. We have this concept here of being carnally minded. Now you say, well, what do you mean by being carnally minded? To have your mind be in a mindset of carnality or the flesh, what we're referring to is the fact that what you mind, the things you think about. See, to kind of lay the foundation for the study tonight, you need to understand it. Keep your finger there in Romans 8, because obviously that's our text for tonight. But go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter number 24. And let me show you something. Proverbs chapter number 24. Now, if you've got your bulletin there, I'm going to ask you to keep your bulletin or put a ribbon there in Proverbs, because we're going to come back to Proverbs towards the end of the Bible study tonight, okay? So if you're wondering about how long is the pastor going to go, when we get back to Proverbs, you'll know we're getting ready to land this thing, okay? We'll be close to being done. So Proverbs chapter number 24, look at verse number 9. Proverbs, right after the book of Psalms, very close to the center of the Bible there. Proverbs chapter number 24, look at verse number 9. Proverbs 24, 9. The Bible says, "The thought of foolishness is sin." Do you see that? The Bible teaches that you can have thoughts, not an action, Not something you did, something you think about, and it can be a sinful thought. Read it again, Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. According to the Bible, just to think about foolishness is sin. And you can have thoughts that are sinful thoughts. Now, keep your finger or bulletin or something, ribbon, there in Proverbs, but go to the book of Acts. Acts is right before the book of Romans, where we are at for tonight. Acts chapter number 8, right before the book of Romans. Let me show you another example. Acts chapter number 8, and in Acts chapter number 8, you find here the story of Simon, often referred to as Simon the Sorcerer. If you remember, Peter is preaching, and he's doing a great work there. Simon sees the power that the Holy Spirit is doing through the Apostle Peter, and he asks to purchase that power. Look at verse 18 there. Acts chapter number 8, verse 18, the Bible says, "And when Simon saw..." And by the way, Simon was a sorcerer. He used to be into witchcraft. So he was used to having all these weird powers or whatever. And by the way, you say, that stuff's made up. Harry Potter's made up. Sabrina the Teenage Witch and all that stuff. That's not real. And not according to the Bible. The Bible says that there are principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So you better be careful with that stuff. And when I say be careful with that stuff, I'm saying stay away from that stuff. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 18 there, the Bible says, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money." So he said, "Well, I want to have that power." He offered them money, look at verse 19, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Verse 20, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Now I want you to notice this. His heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps," notice, "the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Do you see that? So he had to ask for forgiveness for a thought that he had. Now I want you to notice this because it will help you as we study this subject out. It says the thought of thine heart. Do you see that? It says in verse, let's see, where was it? Verse 21, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right." Make note of that word heart. "In the sight of God, repent therefore at this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." So the thought was a sin that needed to be forgiven. We saw that in Proverbs 24. The thought of foolishness is sin. But I want you to make note of this, that the Bible often uses these words interchangeably: your mind, your heart, your soul. You've got to understand, when the Bible uses, by and large, when the Bible uses the word your heart or your mind, it's not talking about the physical organ inside your body. You understand what I'm saying? Your heart is who you are. It's your soul. It's the way you think. It's the voice that you hear inside your head. You understand what I'm saying? That the who you really are, not just this flesh. So when we're talking about your mind, we're not talking about the physical body part that's up in your head, but we're talking about who you are, your thoughts. And really, your thoughts are who you are. And you need to understand that there is a such thing. People have this idea today: I can think what I'd like as long as I don't act on those things. I'm not sinning. Today people have this idea: well, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter if I, as long as I don't cheat on my wife, I can look on the menu even if I've already ordered. And the Bible says no. It says if you lust in your heart, that's a thought. You've committed adultery. Do you understand that? So we need to understand and approach this that God is interested in your entire 100% being, and He's even interested in your thought life, and your thoughts can be sinful thoughts. The thought of foolishness is sin. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Go back to Romans chapter 8. What you need to understand is this: that a sinful thought life directly affects a sinful life. Your sin life, the things you do that are not what God wants you to do, are directly affected by your thought life. Are you there in Proverbs chapter 8? Look at verse number 5 again. For they that are after the flesh. That terminology is referring to the fact that those who follow the flesh, those who give into their flesh. I think we've been talking a lot about this theme recently in our church services, and they haven't been by design. I haven't been purposely doing it, but I feel like the Holy Spirit must be dealing with this subject in our church, because we've been dealing a lot with this subject about the flesh versus the spirit. And the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh, notice, I want you to see this, look down at your Bible. They that give in to their flesh, they that follow their flesh, notice, for they that are after the flesh, here's why they do it. Do mind, okay, talking about the things they think about, do mind the things of the flesh. See, the people who do or follow after the flesh, here's why they follow after the flesh, because they mind the things of the flesh. They do the things that the flesh wants them to do because they think about the things that the flesh wants them to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? No normal human being wakes up one day and decides, today, you know, I know that I've been in church, I'm a soul winner, I've been reading my Bible, I love God, I've been getting people saved, bringing them to church, I have God's blessed me with a good job, and God's blessed me with a beautiful family, and I think, you know what, today's the day I'm going to rob a liquor store. Nobody says that. Today, you know, today, just out of the blue, just out of nowhere, today, I think today I think I'm going to give heroin a shot. See, you see how it is. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody wakes up having a good marriage and says, you know, today I'm going to just ruin my children's life and go and commit adultery. Find someone to commit adultery. That's not a step that happens. Now, we'll think that's what happens. We'll look at someone and say, man, I don't know what happened. They had a beautiful marriage. They had a great marriage. It's just out of nowhere. It didn't happen out of nowhere. A thought was planted in their mind, and that thought had been growing in their mind, and they follow after the flesh because they mind the things of the flesh. No one wakes up and decides, I'm going to ruin my life today, I'm going to join a gang today, I'm going to rob a bank today, I'm going to break into someone's house today, I'm going to try drugs today, or I'm going to beat somebody. Nobody just wakes up and thinks that. It happens in your mind long before you ever do it with your body. They that follow after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So if we're going to get control over our flesh, we're going to have to begin by getting control over our mind. Now you need to understand, the results of a carnal mind. Look at verse 7 there, Romans chapter 8, look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind, you say, well, why does it matter if I have a carnal mind? Why does it matter if I have a sinful mind? Bible says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That word enmity means ill will. The word enmity means mutual hatred. The word enmity comes from the same root word as the word enemy. The Bible says that if you are carnally minded, if you are fleshly minded, if you are sinfully minded, the carnal mind is at enmity or at odds with God. Say, what would happen if, what is the result of a carnal mind? The result of a carnal mind is someone that will be at odds with God. Many people today are not walking with God. Therefore, they are at odds with God. They are you say, well, they may not be anti-God in the sense that, you know, I believe in God and God's okay. But their lives are at odds with what God wants for their life. And here's the reason why. They are carnally minded. Not only will the result of a carnal mind put you at odds with God, but it'll put you at odds with the Word of God. Look at the verse there, Romans 8, look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Notice, for it is not subject to the law of God. The carnal mind does not subject itself to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Those who have a carnal mind will be at odds with the law of God, the Word of God, the Bible. The law of God there is a reference to the Bible. And it's interesting to me that you can have Bible preaching. And at Verity Baptist Church, we strive to have biblical preaching where you can come and you're not listening to me give you my philosophy or my little cute story or my little trinket that I think is so nice. But we're just going to give you in heavy doses the Word of God. You say, why? Because that's what you need. And we will give you Bible preaching. And it's interesting to me that we can spend an hour exposing and expanding upon the Word of God. And we can spend such a long time going through the Bible, going through the verses. And some will respond to it. And others will just be like, oh, nothing happened. It's interesting to me. I mean, we'll get up and preach on soul winning. And some will respond and say, man, I need to get in that. I need to go soul winning. And some will say, man, that was nice. Some will preach about the fact that, hey, you ought to be faithful to church, and you ought to be faithful to the house of God, and you ought to be faithful to the preaching of the Word of God, and you need it in your life. And some people say, man, I've been struggling with that, and I need to get consistent and faithful. And some people say, well, whatever. And you say, well, what is the issue there? I used to beat myself up a lot and think, man, what am I doing wrong that I can't connect with certain people? I feel like I'm just not connected. Some people are just learning and growing and getting. And some people, and I realize it's not me, is that their mind is at odds with the mind of Christ. I mean, and I'll love you and I'll pray for you and I'll be there for you, but I can't help you. It's all in your head. Because a carnal mind is anti-God or at odds with God or in enmity with God or at ill will with God. But a carnal mind puts itself at odds with Bible preaching. So even a spiritual Christian that doesn't have it all put together, and by the way, none of us have it all put together, will hear Bible preaching and they'll respond like this. Man, that hurt. But it's the Word of God. Man, I'm struggling with that. I need to get that better. But it's the Bible. But a carnally minded Christian will say, well, what gives him the right to say? Why does he think that? You're just exposing the fact that your mind is at odds with the Word of God. It's a carnal mind. See, a mind, you say, well, why does it matter? A mind at odds with God will produce a life at odds with God. Are you there in Romans chapter 8? Look at verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you see that? Let's read that again. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now go real quickly to the book of Revelation. Revelation, this isn't in my notes, but Revelation chapter 4 is just the verse I thought of right now. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Revelation chapter 4, and I'm actually going to be planning on speaking on this soon, maybe on a Sunday morning, but I'll give it to you tonight. Revelation chapter 4 should be fairly easy to find. Last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 11. The Bible says here, speaking to God, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things. Notice, Thou hast created all things. Do you think that all includes you? Are you created by God? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Have you ever thought about this? Why on earth are you on earth? Why are you here? Think about how you spend your time. Maybe you spend 40 hours of your week at work. Do you really think that the reason that God has you on earth is that you can go around fixing fire alarms or air conditioners or whatever you do? Think about how you spend your week. If you're honest, statistics tell us that the average American spends 2 to 3 hours watching television every day. And if that's what you do, that's fine. Whatever. But is that what you think God has you on planet Earth to do? To spend roughly 14 to 21 hours of your week in front of a television? Doing a job? Playing a video game? Now look, I understand you need time to rest, and I get that, but you need to understand this. The purpose that you were put on earth was to bring pleasure to God. And the Bible says that when you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Do you want to know why there's so many people with a void in their heart? I talk to so many people and they'll say things like, I just feel like I'm not completing my purpose. I'm not accomplishing what I'm supposed to do. I feel like there's a void. And people run and they try to cover that. They try to cover the symptoms with relationship, with drugs, with alcohol, with gambling, with pornography, with whatever it is. They try to cover that because they're urging and they're sensing for something. And what they don't realize is what they're sensing for. They don't feel like right now. We can solve the void right now. The reason you turn to the alcohol and the drugs and the sin, the reason, we can solve it right now, and I don't need to prescribe you a drug.
Come on, Pastor.
All I need to do is prescribe you the fact that if you would please God and you would love God and you would serve God, you would all of a sudden realize that there is a purpose for your life. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm pleasing God. Here's why you don't please God. Because you're walking after the flesh. That's where the guilt comes in. And that's where the feeling bad comes in. And that's where you think, well, what am I doing? And when you're in sin, that feels nice. Because there's pleasure in sin for a season. But the reason you're put on earth was to please God. And you cannot please God while you're walking in the flesh. And you say, well, what do? I can't stop walking in the flesh. It's because there's something wrong with your mind. They that walk after the flesh, here's why, they mind the things of the flesh. You're there in Revelation, go back a few books there to Hebrews chapter number 11. You're there, if you just go towards the left in your Bible there, the next big book that you'll find there is the book of Hebrews, right before the book of James, Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We've got a little bit of time, so let's move quickly. Hebrews chapter number 11, look at verse number 15. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 15, the Bible says, and truly, if they had been, do you see that word there? Mindful, do you see that? And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know what was the biggest impediment to the children of Israel going into the promised land? We've been talking about it on Sunday nights through the book of Joshua. That first generation, the real reason that they weren't able to go into the promised land and conquer the land, and they have to die off, and that next generation under the leadership of Joshua was able to go in and possess the land. The reason that that generation was not able to do it, here's why. As you study the books of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, you often find these people saying, oh, I wish I was back in Egypt. I miss Egypt, and I miss the food of Egypt, and I miss how they treated us in Egypt. They'll say things like, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out to die in the wilderness? And they kept referencing back to Egypt. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had an opportunity to go back. So people ask me sometimes, we get a lot of people saved, and they'll come to church and start growing, and then they go back to the world. Why do they go back to the world? Here's why they go back to the world, because they kept thinking about the world. They were mindful about the world. Their thoughts were in the world, and when your heart is in the world, eventually your body will be there too. Look what it says. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Look at verse 15. But now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called God, for He hath prepared for them a city. See, if your minds are on heavenly places. And it's interesting to me, I always like to point this out when we read this verse. It says, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God says, if you desire a better country, God is not ashamed to be called your God. The flip side of that is this. If there are Christians that God is not ashamed to be called their God, then that tells me this. There are Christians that God is ashamed to be called their God. Think about that. When your whole purpose in life was to bring pleasure to God, and instead you do the exact opposite, and God is embarrassed. When somebody asks you about your salvation, and I thank God for everybody who's saved, but when somebody says, hey, are you saved? You say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and God, He says, I wish you wouldn't say that. Shh, just be quiet. Don't tell people you're saved. Why? Man, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to be ashamed of me. Good night. The result of a carnal mind is that you'll be at odds with God. You'll find yourself at odds with the Word of God. And a mind at odds with God will produce a life at odds with God. But number two, in Romans chapter 8, go back to Romans 8. You find the concept not only of the carnal mind, but you find the concept of a spiritual mind. Look at verse 5 again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Do you see that? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, we understand there the way that sentence is worded, they that are after the Spirit, they also mind the things of the Spirit. Go to the book of Jeremiah real quickly. Jeremiah, right after the book of Isaiah in your Old Testament, you have the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to ask you to also just stick something in Jeremiah. We're going to come back to Jeremiah. When we come back to Proverbs, we're going to stop by Jeremiah, okay? And we're almost done already, but I'm just trying to speed it up a little bit. Jeremiah, chapter number 17. In your Old Testament, you've got those major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, small book of Lamentations, and you've got the big book of Ezekiel. So go to Jeremiah, chapter number 17. Look at verse number 9. Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. You say, there is a such thing as a spiritual mind. And a spiritual mind has a spiritual thought life. But you need to understand this about your spirit. If you're going to have a spiritual mind, you must understand this. You cannot trust your natural or carnal mind. You cannot trust your heart. Are you there in Jeremiah 17? Look at verse 9. Look what the Bible says. The heart is deceitful above all things. Let's just read that again so you understand that. This is what God says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let me tell you something. You cannot trust your heart. You cannot trust your mind. Sometimes people will want to counsel with me or talk with me about something in their lives. And as a pastor, I'm more than happy to do that. And I always cringe when someone says, when they say to me and they think they're being, I don't know, spiritual or cute or something. And people say to me, hey, Pastor, I just want to follow my heart. Whenever someone says that to me, I just kind of cringe. Because whenever you follow your heart, I'm promise, just put it down, you're making the wrong decision. Well, I think in my heart that this is the right thing to do. It is the wrong thing to do every time. You cannot trust your heart. You cannot trust your mind. You need to understand, whenever a thought pops in your head, sometimes I talk to people and I think to myself, man, everything that person comes out of their mouth is wrong. Every advice I hear that person say is just not scriptural. It's not biblical. Here's why. They're following their heart. Usually people say this, I just want to follow my heart, so I'm leaving my wife because I met someone else. That's usually what they want to say, what they're going to say. Usually they don't say, Pastor, I just want to follow my heart. So I made a vow till death do us part and I'm just going to be faithful. And usually they don't say that in marriage counseling. Usually they don't say, you know, I'm following my heart, so I'm going to do something righteous. They say, I'm following my heart. And what always follows is something fleshful, something carnal, something sinful. Why? Because your heart is deceitful. It is wicked above all things. You can't trust. You just understand this. You cannot trust your heart. You cannot trust your mind. Go back to Romans real quickly. Romans chapter 12. We gotta finish this up. Romans chapter 12. Remember, we come back to Jeremiah. We're almost done. But we got to look at this. I think you came to Bible study to study the Bible. So look at Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12. Now I know we're in Romans chapter 8. But just go to chapter 12 real quickly. Let me just show you one verse. As a Christian, God is not interested in your mind. Let me say that again. As a Christian, God is not interested in your mind. Sometimes people come into Christianity and they have this idea that whatever, let me tell you something, whatever you did before you were saved, whatever philosophy you had, however you think it was right to have marriage, however you think it was right to handle your finances, however you think it was right to raise children, however it is wrong, end of story, God doesn't need your advice on anything, just forget about it. Your mind is carnal, it is corrupted, it is wicked, it is deceitful, it'll lead you the wrong way every single time. And in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 2. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, notice, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says that God wants to renew your mind. Make your mind new. He's not interested in your old mind, in your own heart, in your old thoughts, in your old way of living. He wants to make it all new. Sometimes people will come to a church like this because we preach out of the Bible and they'll say, you're in a cult. I think to myself, you don't even know what a cult is. A cult follows a man. We are not a cult. We follow the Word of God. That's why I think we've looked at like 30 verses so far.
Thank you,
I am not a prophet up here that just anything I say goes. I am not a pope up here that anything I say goes. I am not some, you know, religious leader that just doesn't. There are cults in this world that say, doesn't matter what the Bible says, if our prophet or our pope or our leader or our president, if he said it, then that's gospel. No, that's wrong. That's a cult. We don't follow a man. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we must. And by the way, let me just say this. If Pastor Jimenez ever stops preaching the Word of God, you have my permission to throw me out. Now, if I preach the Bible and you don't like the Bible, then tough. Maybe you ought to get your mind renewed. But if we ever stop preaching the Bible, if you ever come to church and I read a verse and then I blah, 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 blah for 45 minutes, then find another pastor. Find another church. But God wants to renew your mind. You saw that in Romans? Go to Ephesians. Right after the book of Romans, you got 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Right after Corinthians, you got the book of Galatians. Then you got the book of Ephesians. We gotta hurry up. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 23. I just want you to see these verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Ephesians 4, 23. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. What I was saying was this. People will come to this church. They'll accuse us. They'll say, you're getting brainwashed. I don't refute that. Your brain needs to be washed. You're getting brainwashed at that church. Your brain needs to be washed. It is corrupted. It is wrong. Now, please understand. We're saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek. You understand that. But let me tell you something. This world and the world's philosophy and the world's mindset does not work. I don't know if you've noticed. Go to the average public school and see how children are acting today. This world and its concepts are not working. Watch the marriages of the unsaved. It doesn't work. Watch, just look at our community. Just walk up and down the streets and look at unsaved people and look at how they act and look at the things they do. It doesn't work. You're going to that church, they're going to try to wash your brain. Your brain needs a good washing. God says, I'm not interested in your heart. He says, I want to renew your mind. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse 23. Ephesians 4, 23. Look what it says. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And understand, someone's going to take 15 seconds of this sermon, put it on YouTube somewhere, and say, Pastor Jimenez is brainwashing people. Obviously, it's the Word of God washing your mind. We understand that. But God doesn't mince words about it. He wants to wash your mind. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians. You say, okay, Pastor, well, I understand that there is a such thing as a carnal mind, and I don't want to go down that road. And I understand that there is a such thing as a spiritual mind, and I don't want to, and I want to go down that road. How do you do that? Practically, how do you do that? How do we renew our mind? Here's how you do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Look what it says. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see that? Bringing into captivity. That's talking about capturing. That's talking about holding. That's talking about imprisoning every thought to the obedience of Christ. Say, how do I renew my mind? You control your thoughts. Let me tell you, I don't know if you understand this, and look, I'm not mocking this, but today there are many people that suffer with this thing called depression. Depression is just a matter of your mind. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. The truth of the matter is that people say, well, I'm depressed. Look, you choose to be. Paul said, I think myself happy. And when that idea pops in your head that says, oh, I'm so discouraged, what you need to do is say, I'm not going to allow that thought to ruin or rule over my mind. I'm going to capture that thought and bring it in the obedience of Christ, and I'm going to remind myself that no matter what's going on in life, hey, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It's a mind issue. It's a thought. But see, we let our thoughts run wild. That's why people get discouraged. That's why they quit on God. That's why they quit on church. That's why they quit on their marriages. That's why they quit on their children. That's why they quit on everything. Why? Because their thoughts. If you'd capture your thoughts, do you see it? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, obviously, the Bible says that you can be tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted. It says He was tempted in all points as we are. But the Bible says, yet without sin. We understand that you can be tempted without sinning. But let me tell you something. Temptation and thinking about sin are two different things. Jesus Christ was tempted in the sense that sin was available. He saw it and He rejected it. But He didn't dwell on it. Because the thought of foolishness is sin. If He would have been thinking, oh, I just really want to drink that wine. Then He would have been a sinner just like you and I. We've got to get to this place where we just realize we need to control our thought life. And see, that's real Christianity because nobody sees you controlling your thought life. Nobody sees how out of control your thoughts are. Or how in control they are. Go to Philippians. Philippians. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm running out of time, but it's all a matter of your mind. That's what it comes down to. It's your mind. And please understand what I'm saying. Every area of your life is just a matter of your mind.
That's it.
It's what you think about. I'll use this example because it's an easy example for people to understand. But oftentimes people give me excuses as to why they can't come to church. I understand every once in a while you're sick and you're throwing up, you can't come to church. I get that. But you know what I've noticed? Not just church, but at work and in every other life. At work. Let's just use the example of work so nobody... I've noticed, you know, the same guy who's late, you notice that's the same guy every time. And we're supposed to be led to believe that his life is harder than our life, or his life has more things. And it's always something came up. Something always comes up. You know how things stop coming up? When you decide that nothing's going to stop me. Pastor, I really meant to be in church, but something came up. It always comes up. If I was looking for an excuse to skip out on church, you'd never see me. But the person who makes the decision, the person that makes the choice, the person that in their mind says, hey, I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm not going to be late to work. I'm going to be good. I'm going to budget. I'm going to be good with my finances. I'm going to be in my Bible. Hey, the person that says, you know, I'm a little upset with my wife, and that divorce walks in. Hey, just throw that, cut that word out of your dictionary, throw it in the trash, and never think about it. The best advice I ever got is me and my wife, before we got married, just a month or so before we got married, we sat down and we had this conversation that the word divorce would never be mentioned in our house. Amen. You say, how do you have a marriage that lasts and doesn't end up in divorce? It's not an option. It's not something we think about. You say, in your biggest, most furious fight, first of all, we don't fight. We have a perfect marriage. but let me tell you something. Get rid of that word. Just forget about it. Because here's what people do. They think about it, they think about it, they think about it, they think about it, and eventually they do. Yeah. Your mind is the reason you do the things in your heart. Are you there in Philippians chapter 4? Look at verse 8. Philippians chapter 4. You say, well, people are just, it's just, they just got lucky and they just got lucky and they had a great marriage. Are you insane? Live with a human being. Look, the best marriage, the two most godly people you could find is still going to be human beings. They just made a choice. They made a choice to stay together. They made a choice to be faithful. It's funny how the people who decide, and it's interesting because you watch people who never made it, they wanted to come and they never made it. And then when they made the choice, I'm going to be in church faithful 3 times a week. Then they come 3 times a week, nothing stopped them ever. It's like, well, what changed? Your schedule got better? No. Your mind changed, that's what changed. Your thoughts changed, that's what changed. Period. End of story. You watch people, so, you know, their finances get better. A lot of times, oh, did you get a raise? No. Look, if you're not good with your finances, you make $50 a week, and you're not good with that, you're not going to be good with $100 a week. You're not going to be good with $500,000 a week. You understand that? You're like, well, I've just made more money. If you're not faithful with the least, that's what Jesus said. You understand what I'm saying? It's a mind issue. Are you there in Philippians chapter 4? Look at what it says today. Look what it says. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true,
Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, look what the Bible says, think on these things. Control your thought life. Just control your thoughts. And if you control your thoughts, if you think of spiritual things, you'll have a spiritual mind. And if you have a spiritual mind, you'll walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Go back to Romans chapter 8. We got to finish this up. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8.
And it's 8:08. Okay, I've got 5, 6, 7. I've got 7 minutes.
Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 5. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 5.
For they that are after the flesh, the mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
And why do you want to be spiritually minded? Let me tell you something. The devil will lie to you and make it seem like serving God and being a Christian and living for God. You're never going to have fun. Let me tell you something. Living for God will bring you life and peace. Living in your flesh will just bring you death. That's why there are prodigal sons. Because they go out into the world and realize this doesn't work. This isn't happiness. And they come back to God. Don't learn that lesson yourself. Don't waste years learning that. It's in the Bible. Just learn from the Bible and realize living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, it produces life.
Look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify. You know what that word mortify means? To murder. It comes from the same root word as mortality or a mortitioner. Look what it says. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
You got to have a spiritual mind to walk in the Spirit to put to death the acts of the flesh. Go to Jeremiah. Remember I told you, if you went to Jeremiah, we're done. Did you keep your? Now you wish you would put something there. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. We're almost done. We're going to look at 4 verses, okay? But we'll look at them fast. Jeremiah chapter 6. Are you there? You're slowing me down. See, if you would have put a bulletin there, it would have been there by now. Jeremiah chapter 6. Look at verse 19. You need to understand this. Your thought life will produce fruit in your life. Are you there in Jeremiah 6? Look at verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. Even, look what it says, the fruit of their thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Remember the principle of you reap what you sow. You plant something and you will reap the fruit. And your thoughts will produce a fruit in your life. And sinful thoughts will produce a sinful life. And spiritual thoughts will produce a spiritual life. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs. Remember I told you to keep your finger in Proverbs, didn't I? Proverbs chapter 23. Look at verse 7. Proverbs 23. Look at verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7. I told you we're going to look at 4 verses. This is the second one. Proverbs 23. Look at verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7. The Bible says, let not thine heart envy sinners. I'm not reading the right one. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Oh, here it is. Proverbs 23:7. Are you there? Look what it says. For as he thinketh in his heart, look what it says, so is he. Do you see that? People say you are what you eat. Really, you are what you think. Yeah. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You say, the things that I think, that's not going to affect my life. Know what you think in your heart, that's what you'll become. You start thinking about going down the wrong road, hanging out with the wrong people, you'll eventually hang out with the wrong people. And by the way, you'll go from Christian loving God, not to breaking into a liquor store, but you'll go from Christian guy to, I met these people and I know I'm not supposed to hang out with them, but I think I will. You know, I understand if we hang out, if we establish a relationship to get someone saved, I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. I just like this person. I'm going to spend time with them and allow them to influence me. And then then they start drinking, and you think, well, you know, and you think about it for a while. Well, I don't like to drink, and you think about it. Eventually, you start drinking. And then they got drugs, and you think about it, and then you got drugs. And by the way, people do break into liquor stores for drug money. Do you understand that? That person did not wake up. That 13-year-old and 14-year-old, that freshman in high school, did not set out in high school that first day of school and thought, I'm going to find the wrong crowd and just ruin my life right now. It happened through a process of decisions and thoughts that they made in their heart. Go to Psalm. Okay, Psalm. Remember I told you 4? We looked at 2. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Here's my question for you. Psalm 19. Here's my question. How's your thought life? Are you thinking about spiritual things? Psalm 19, look at verse 14. We're done. Psalm 19, 14. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Talking about the things you think about, the things you meditate about. Remember, your heart's your mind. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Look what it says. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said, I want the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in the sight of God. Go to Psalm 139. That's the last one. Psalm 139. Look at verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139:23. Can you pray this prayer? How's your thought life? Can you pray this prayer? Look what it says. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here's a question. How's your thought life? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I do thank you that there is a place in this community that preaches the Bible, and we're not ashamed of it. We're not embarrassed of it. We're not embarrassed to realize that this world, whatever they're doing, it's not working. And we need to renew our minds. Father, I pray you'd bless us. I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray you'd help us to be spiritually minded, that we might walk in the Spirit. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, let's take our songbooks. We'll sing one song real quickly before we're dismissed. And let's go to page number 250, page number 250, and we'll sing Burden.